I would like to supplement the teaching on 1 John 2 with some further thoughts about the Antichrist characteristics revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, as with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, we're talking about Antichrist spirit here, that the return of Jesus will not come until that spirit is fully manifest and someone called the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition or the son of lawlessness. In other words, this person promotes rebellion in every form. I believe I see it at work strongly in the nation in which I live, which is the United States of America. I believe I see this spirit clearly manifesting that loves lawlessness, much in contrast to the Lord Jesus, who loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. And this man of sin, of lawlessness, opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship. And that's certainly going on, and taking the strangest forms, where the children of God are being, in our nation, opposed, so that he, this Antichrist figure, sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That reminds me of the man who is praying to himself in the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He's praying to himself. And in this case, this Antichrist figure sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul says. And then he speaks of a restrainer, holding back this person, holding back the spirit. There will be a time when that restrainer is removed. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then this lawless one will be fully revealed. And the result of that will be that the Lord will consume this person with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. And so this warfare is fully manifested in the days prior to his return, the Lord Jesus' return. And the coming of this lawless one in verse 9 is according to the working of Satan. And he has power, and he has signs, and he has lying wonders. And he has unrighteous deception that impresses those who are perishing because they don't love the truth. Because if they loved it, they would be saved. And so because they don't love the truth, God sends them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It seems clear that this person will rise to world power and lead a great rebellion against Christ and the faith that we have revealed in the New Testament. Looking at Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. We know what the end of this person will be, because he's tied together with the devil who's behind him. And in chapter 20, verse 10 of Revelation, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And after that, of course, comes what is called the great white throne judgment, in which the souls of men are judged. And so this activity that we're talking about here with this son of perdition is peculiar to a particular time before the coming of the Lord. And it is seemingly true that we are living in this hour. Here are some characteristics of this son of perdition, this Antichrist spirit. Number one, there is no incarnation according to the Spirit. Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. He did not become a human being. Or if he was a human being, he certainly wasn't holy. He wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Redeemer of mankind. Secondly, this Antichrist spirit has many false teachings about Christ, too numerous to even go into. It speaks clearly of it in 2 Corinthians 11. And so let's go on to the third point, which is a hatred of the Jews, which is peculiar to the spirit. And we certainly saw it manifested in Nazism. We see it manifested in communism. We see it manifested in Islam, and on it goes. It's a clear and mysterious hatred that just crops up all over the face of the earth. And could it be because these are God's chosen people? The fourth point is the denial of personal freedom. This spirit wants to slowly take away from you all of your freedom to think, freedom to reason, freedom to go this place or that place, freedom to do as the Lord is teaching you. It's a very real thing, and it's working very powerfully in this nation at this time. The fifth point is this spirit persecutes true believers. Just read about what's going on in Nigeria or Kenya or so many places on the face of the earth, China, across North Africa, Central African Republic. The sixth point is there are many antichrists. There have been many individual antichrists throughout human history, just in our time, the ones I've already mentioned, like Hitler and Stalin and Islam and humanism in this country. The antichrists John refers to in this letter are probably early Gnostics. These people believe that God couldn't come in the flesh. It couldn't be what John is saying. We have touched and handled the word of life. No, God would never do a thing like that. He's beyond that sort of thing. And of course, this was destroying the faith of many. And that's one of the reasons he wrote this letter. And the seventh point is, from Vincent's word studies in the New Testament, this word Antichrist may mean one who stands against Christ or one who stands instead of Christ. While the false Christ is merely a pretender to the messianic office, the Antichrist assails Christ by proposing to do or to preserve what he did while denying him. Antichrist, then, is one who opposes Christ in the guise of Christ. Once again, from Vincent's word studies in the New Testament. So the Antichrist spirit was real right from the very beginning of church life. And it's very real today. And its special realness is that it's had a time reserved for its preeminence, which precedes the return of Christ. And the reason we're seeing so much of that spirit today is it is telling us that Jesus is coming. Prepare yourself for his return. And it's speaking to us to be wise as a serpent and to be as innocent as a dove, to love innocency and the beauty of God above all the corruption and immorality that's being, and twisting of truth that's being fed to us today as if this were the way to go. Those of us who have the Holy Spirit know the spirit of Antichrist, and we need to sharpen our skills in spotting the activity of that and not being sucked into a emotional, fleshy response to what it's doing, but rather appealing to our Father in heaven and asking the Holy Spirit to guide us as if we were in some maze and we didn't know our way out, asking the Spirit of God to guide us through this time until at last we peer before him in the ecstasy of his presence. May you be strengthened today, my brother and sister.